Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 439. So You're Not Getting Well. Pastor Harley Coulterman delivered this message on Sunday, September 28th, 2025, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, which never returns empty. It always accomplishes what you please. It always prospers where you send it. So Lord, we open our hearts today to your word. We open our hearts to your spirit. And we thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, and for your greatness, because Jesus, you are the Lord. And Father, as we dedicate this day to you and to worship you, to honor you, to love you, we thank you, Father God, that you are the God of all grace, the God of all peace, and the God that puts joy in our lives. So today we surrender all the stuff that would hold us back, all the things that would hold us down, the things that would trouble our hearts and our minds, Lord. And we open our heart to you to receive your shalom peace in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. So we live in a world that's pretty full of stress. Have you noticed that? You know, there's a lot of stuff going on. A lot of it isn't really conducive to good health. It's not conducive to prosperity, and it's not conducive to any kind of good thing in your life. So today, I want to minister something that I think that will help you. You know, the Bible says that, I think it's in the book of 1 John, it says, "Beloved, I wish or I pray above all things that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers." Amen. Anybody know where that's found? It's 1 John something. So the question is your soul prospering? Because if he wants you to be prospering and in good health as your soul prospers, then your soul isn't prospering. You got a problem, right? So sometimes people even mix up what a soul and a spirit is. You know, you are a spirit being. God created you in his image. And God is a spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And you live in a body. This body is his temple. And you have a soul, which is your mind, emotions, your will, your intellect. The thing that we use, the aspect of us that we use to process things in the world around us. And even to search the inner being that we have to hear from God. Amen. Because God can be speaking, but if you can't hear it inside and can't process it through your mind, you don't know what he said, right? So you need to have your soul prospering. You need to be in good health and have your soul prospering so that you can prosper and be in good health. Amen. Praise the Lord. So about 25 years ago, I wrote this book. It's called So You're Getting Well, So You're Not Getting Well, because we ran into a lot of people who were struggling with illness and struggling with long-term issues and struggling to be healed. And then I put a subtitle, I Have Good News For You. So I'll read the introduction here. And we want to head into this message so you're not getting well. God blesses, God loves you and wants you healthy. Every day, he is a good God. Sometimes people think, I'm not worthy to receive good gifts from God because I've sinned and done bad things. But God is saying to you, I sent my son Jesus to take care of the sin problem. I didn't send him just for people who are pretty, clean, and nice. I send him for everybody, for the lowest criminal to the highest moral person in the land. I sent Jesus for you. God wants you well. His will for you is to walk in fully in the power of his word, so fully in the power of his word that sickness and disease are literally pushed away from you. Isn't that good news? Anybody out there? So God wants you well. One of the issues that people struggle with a lot in those terms is, what is God's will? Because sometimes people don't even know that it's God's will to heal them. But I have a question for you. If you get sick and you can't figure it out and it's hindering your life, would you go to a doctor or would you not go to a doctor? And if you said, yes, I'll go to a doctor, why would you go to a doctor if it wasn't God's will to heal you? It doesn't really make sense, does it? So I think probably down inside, most of us believe that it's God's will to heal. Otherwise, we wouldn't pursue healing. We wouldn't pursue getting well. But one of the issues is sometimes we just know too much about sickness, and we're surrounded with so many voices about that sickness and about weakness and about infirmity that we get to the point like some people say, well, don't you know you have to get sick so you can die? Well, that happens to a lot of people. They get sick and die. But that doesn't have to happen to you. You can die well. You can go to heaven well. And you can rejoice on your way in. So if you have your choice, what would be your preference? To die in a hospital bed somewhere, racked with pain and suffering and trying to recover from some surgeries? Or to just go to heaven from your bedroom, living room, kitchen, or while you're driving your car down the road? And it becomes somebody else's problem. You know, when it's your time to go, your days are numbered. The Bible says that God numbers our days. And he says that we can have 70 if by reason of strength 80. In another place he said, with long life I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. So some people argue about whether you've got 70 or 80 years or whether you've got a long life till you're satisfied. I don't know about you, but I think I'll choose till the satisfied thing's done. Now, sometimes people get old. Sometimes people get old when they're 25. And when you start thinking old and you start talking old and you start talking about your sickness and your weakness and your problems and your troubles and all of those things, it makes you get older faster. But when you start speaking the word of God to your body and to the circumstances and the things around you, the Bible says that the word of God is powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It divides asunder the joints and the spirit, the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and it discerns the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So we teach in this church that if you've got a problem, instead of speaking to God about your problem, why don't you speak to the problem about your God? Because Jesus is the one who taught us to talk to the mountains. And he said, if you say to the mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things that you say shall come to pass, you will have whatever you say. So instead of confessing all of our problems and talking about our sicknesses and our weaknesses, we have a powerful tool that God has given us to destroy the stronghold of sickness, disease, weakness, and infirmity. But we have to use it in order for it to be effective. So one time, I think it was maybe the first time that Pastor Sarah went to Cuba with us, Pastor Karen had this little like knot form on her forehead. I think that was the time both of you got sick too, besides that. So it was just like attack of the devil. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus comes to give life and give it abundantly. But that thing on her forehead, it just kept growing and kept growing and kept growing. It's like turned into this really nasty looking, almost cancerous looking kind of thing. And, you know, it was high enough in her forehead that her bangs covered it, so most people didn't even see it or know that she had it. But instead of going away, it just got bigger and got nastier looking and got worse. But every morning I would walk by her office. I would hear her speaking the word of God to that thing. And then one day, I don't know, maybe it was a couple of months, she did that. A couple of years, she did that. And then one day she came to me and she said, "Hey, look at this. That thing had dried up and fell off." And she had it in her hand. So sometimes it takes some persistence. But if you persist to do what the Word of God says, you will get the effect that the Word of God promises you. Because His promises to you are yes and amen. But I digress a little bit from this book, so you're not getting well. So one of the issues here that just was raised is sometimes people don't feel worthy to receive. But you know, you really have right standing with God through the blood of Jesus. And if you really kind of need to start there, because that takes care of the worthiness issue. If it weren't for the blood of Jesus, none of us would be able to receive any good and perfect gift from heaven. But God's goodness and His mercy, He extends not only to those who are saved, but He extends to the unrighteous and the ungodly as well. But sometimes we let our thoughts keep us from receiving the things that God has for us. But the reality is, Jesus became your substitute. He took all of your sins in His body on the cross. And the Bible says that if you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead and you confess His lordship over His life, you will be saved. He always intended for His people to be well. Even under the Old Covenant in the Old Testament times, the Word of God talks about people being well. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 and 5, it's probably the most famous scripture in the Old Testament about healing. It says, "Surely He has borne our," I think most of the translations say, "griefs and carried our sorrows." But those two words really should be properly defined or properly translated as pains and sicknesses. If you look up the Hebrew words in your concordance, you can find that out. And it says, "Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed." You can take it to the bank. From the beginning, God intended wellness and wholeness to come. Sickness and disease, poverty and lack, weakness and infirmity came with sin at the Garden of Eden. But God sent Jesus to redeem us from the curse of the law. And when you have that in your heart, then you have an equipping to fight back against those things that attack your body, attack your mind, attack your family, attack your finances, or attack anything else that you have. There's another scripture, it's one of my favorites, Exodus 23:25, I believe it is. It says that if you will serve the Lord your God, He will bless your bread and your water, and He will take sickness away from the midst of you, and He will fulfill your lifespan. So it's an amazing thing that even in the Old Covenant, God promised His people wellness and wholeness. So when we pray over our food, we should be speaking blessing over our food, because God has blessed our food and our water. And it's God that's taking sickness away from the midst of us. The promise is even stronger in the New Covenant. In 1 Peter 2:24, it says, "Who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin," or having died to sins, "might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." So I know some people teach that Jesus took our sins into his spirit and that he died spiritually so that we could be free from sin, but that's not what Peter said. Peter said here in this scripture, in this letter, that he bore our sins in his own body on the cross. So you can say, well, how does that work? How could he do that? How would that work? It's not about trying to figure out how it worked. It's about, do you believe that it worked? It's about, do you accept that it worked? Then we don't have to figure out whether it was spiritually or whether it was physically or how that worked on the cross. But God said that he put our sins, as well as our sicknesses, on Jesus at the cross. And if we can accept that and believe that in our heart, just like we believe for salvation, to get saved, so get saved from our sins, we can believe for wellness and wholeness and healing to come to us. So what does it mean, by whose stripes you are healed? It means that Jesus took the sickness as your substitute so you don't have to carry it, just like he took your sins as a substitute so you don't have to carry your sins around. Now, sometimes people carry their sins for years and years and years and years, and needlessly, because Jesus already died to set them free. But once you get the good news, you can accept the good news and receive your forgiveness and your healing as well. So one of the issues, though, is it's hard for our mind to grasp because we see the symptoms, we feel the symptoms, we are reminded of the symptoms. And if you go to the doctor, he'll reinforce that for you. And the nurses will give you bad news as well. And you live in a body. And our body is affected by all those things that are around us. I mean, you can say yes, but the pain is still there. So how can I say I'm healed by his stripes? Just like that tickle in my throat is still there. But I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. So does the scripture we just looked at say you're healed only if you don't have symptoms or pain? No, it says by his stripes you were healed. In the Old Testament, in the Isaiah scripture, it says you were healed. In the 1 Peter 2:24 scripture, it says you are healed. So if you were and you are, then you have to make the decision if you really are. So then you have to ask, well, why do I still feel the pain, or why do I still have the symptoms? Because sometimes it takes your body a while to obey the word of God. So I know the enemy has been fighting me with this for a few weeks, but I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. And I'm not backing down, because the word of God says it. So the point is that we want to receive the whole package of what God has provided for us. If you turn to the book of Psalms 103, it starts out in verse 2 saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget all the benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and who heals all your diseases. Did you notice that it said all your diseases? Not half of them or not a few of them? He doesn't forgive all of your sin. If God doesn't heal all of your diseases, he doesn't forgive all of your sins either. Because if he lied about one thing, he probably lied about the rest of it as well. But we can accept that God put on Jesus our sins as well as our sicknesses. He didn't forgive all of your sins and forget about your healing. And he didn't heal all your diseases and forget about your sins. It's still the same Bible, the same Psalm. Salvation means healing. Salvation means deliverance. Salvation means soundness and wholeness. It's all the same package. David wrote Psalm 103 under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and we believe that all the scripture was given by the inspiration of God, at the instruction of God. And we can take it to the bank that if he said it, he promised it, we can have it, we can receive it. In verse 4 it says, who redeems your life from destruction. Satan is out to kill, steal, and destroy. But thank God the Bible says that Jesus redeems your life from destruction. So whatever strategy Satan designed to destroy your life, God has a better plan, and he sent Jesus to fix it up. Verse 4 says, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. That's God's love pouring out for you, no matter what. It's not about how good you've been. It's about how great God is. And it's not dependent on you. It's dependent on him. Verse 5 says, who satisfies your mouth with good things, that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So there's the story about the eagles. You know, when the eagles get old, they shed their feathers and grow some new ones, and then they soar. They fly again. So you can keep your old age symptoms and you can wallow around in your self-pity, but if you want to do what the psalm says, you should soar with wings like eagles. Verse 10 and 11, it says, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. If you want to know a God who is great, it's a God who has mercy on his people. And if you've loved God and you've made Jesus your Lord, you have something that's better than an insurance package with great benefits. In James chapter 5, verse 13, it says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is any one of you among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Notice that those scriptures tie sin together with healing. It basically says you can get healing and forgiveness at the same place from Jesus. It doesn't say God might forgive your sins or possibly heal you. God is the healer, and he's the one who gives forgiveness. He's the same God. The other thing mentioned in verse 14 reads, is any one among you sick? It's almost as if there shouldn't be anybody there. But if there is a remedy. The remedy is salvation and healing. He's saying if there is anyone sick, the prayer of faith will save and heal the sick. This is almost hilarious. That person will receive forgiveness and healing from the same action that they have committed sins. The writers throughout the Bible demonstrate again and again that salvation is a gift from God. You cannot receive what you do not know. And people are sick because they don't know that they can be healed. Just like people are lost because they don't know they can be saved. But the point is, it's already been accomplished. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. It says all things, and it says has given, past tense. It's already done. So if God has given you all things, so you have do has given you all things, do you have them? You receive things that pertain to life and godliness by faith in Jesus and faith in his name. It all comes to knowing him. A little while ago, Elizabeth talked about knowing him and having a relationship. It's out of that relationship with him that you receive all things and the blessings from God. It's like if you inherited something from someone who passed away and they didn't know how to find you, what kind of benefits would you actually receive? If they didn't know your address to send the message that the will had left you money or things, how would they know to get the benefits to you? A while back, I'd been ministering to a young guy. He had lots of problems in his life, and he ended up in prison. And he kept calling me and asked if he commit suicide, would he go to heaven or would he go to hell? And I said, well, what did they teach you in Bible college? And he said, well, in Bible college, they said if I committed suicide, I'd go to hell. But is that really true? And I said, well, you know what the word says, that if you believe in God, if you trust in God for salvation, you can be saved. And then it gives you instructions for your life. And one of them isn't to commit suicide. And so anyway, he struggled with that for a while. And he ended up being sentenced to a pretty long prison term. And I sort of lost track of him. And then after a period of time, I think it was Mel Puff brought somebody to my cell group. And this guy, he asked me if I knew this man, and it happened to be the same guy that had been in prison. And I said, yeah, sure, of course I know him. And he said, well, did you know that he passed away? And I said, no, I had no idea. I didn't know he died. And he said, yeah, well, he died. He said they found him down by the river. He was in his camper, and he'd been dead for 6 months. And he said, Did you get his truck and did you get his equipment that he willed to you? And I said, no, I didn't know that he willed anything to us. We didn't know that he died. We didn't know that he got out of prison. We didn't know anything. And so the gentleman said, well, his family must have stole that stuff, but you were supposed to get it. So there's a case where if you don't know what your inheritance is and you don't have any relationship and God doesn't have your address, you're probably not going to receive from him what he has for you. That's why we develop a relationship with God. So thank God that God sent Jesus to restore our relationship with him. The Bible says that Jesus reconciled us to the Father and that he gave us ministry of reconciliation to bring others to him so that they can receive all of the benefits that he's prepared for them. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, it says, by which have been given to you exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you can be partakers of God's divine nature. You can be a partaker of the nature of God. You can have the nature of God in you by having a relationship with him. But you have to get to know him to receive that nature. If you're going to spend time with someone, you'll get to know them. And God's relationship with God is the same way. Because he trusts you and has faith in you that you will not ask for anything out of line with his will because you have a relationship with him. So what you need to do is claim your inheritance. Claim what belongs to you. Lay claim to it and let God know your address. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, it says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And it says later that We know that if he hears us, we have the petitions that we have desired of him. Nothing could be more affirmative than that. The scripture says that God is a good God and that you can have confidence in him. Because he sent Jesus to die for you, you can have confidence that he hears you when you pray. But how do you judge whether or not something that you desire is in God's will? Is just check out the Word. Check it out with the Holy Spirit. Check it out with leaders and believers that are around you to find out if it's God's will for you. Because you can know and be assured of the benefits and the blessings that God has promised you will be yours. So all of these things can apply to anything that we need to receive from God, whether it's healing or safety or soundness or finances. But you must believe that you receive it before you can actually see it. And that is called faith. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things that we hope for. It's the evidence of the things that we cannot see. So while we're waiting during that period of time when symptoms are nagging at you or when things seem not to change, you can have confidence that God has already sent it. It already belongs to you. And if you outwait the devil, you will get your answer. You will get the blessing that he's promised you, because faith takes a hold of the blessings of God. Praise the Lord. So let's pray. So Father, we thank you today that we're saved by grace through faith. We thank you that it's a gift from you. It's a gift from you, Father. And it's not by our works. It's not by our deserving things. It's not by our earning it. But it's by what Jesus did at the cross of Calvary. Thank you, Father, that he redeemed us from the curse of the law, including sickness, disease, and weakness of every kind. And today, Lord, we just release your healing power and your healing presence in this place and over the airwaves. And we thank you, Father, for keeping your word in every person's life. Thank you that it doesn't have to depend on somebody else's experience. It doesn't have to depend on what happened to somebody else or what didn't work for someone else, but that it works because of Jesus, because of the cross, and because of the blood that he shed there for us. And today we open our hearts to receive from you, Lord, strength and life and peace and joy in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.